Momo, Andy, Information Ireland, everybody's on vacation. I went on maternity leave and came back and like everybody's gone. Like, hi, summer. Nice to see you.
Summer, they said, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Before NBA season, before NFL season.
Yeah, I know,
season.
That's when you got to go.
Yep.
This is when I used to go, and Facebook is reminding me constantly. 8 years ago, you were someplace wonderful. Seven years ago, you were also someplace wonderful.
8 years ago, you had a life.
Yes.
That's really what these old Facebook reminders are about.
You know what I did, though? You know what I do now is I listen to a lot of musicals. But because it's the second kid, I'm like way more relaxed now. Like the first kid, I was like, oh, I'm going to break him, you know. And now I just kind of like, I'm very chill. I like listen to a lot of musicals and I like play songs while he's up. And that's how I listened to Encanto before I watched the movie. I finally got to like catch up and understand why we don't talk about Bruno now. Like I finally get that one. But like, I just kind of like chill with the baby all day long. And then I come in here on a Monday and I'm like, oh, there's adult. There it is. See, I listened to this for months, and I heard everybody else talking. Do you know why we don't talk about Bruno?
Oh God, I've seen the movie. Oh,
because if you've seen the movie, then you know why we don't talk about Bruno.
Yeah, I know why we don't talk about Bruno.
But we should talk about Bruno, because life is not about what kind of magic you are given. It's about the magic that's inside you.
Right, and at the end of the day, everybody's family.
And Bruno sees things that people may not want to see. It could be unpleasant, but in life, unpleasant things happen. We can't just shield our children from them. See, do you like the Disney movies? They work on me.
They do.
They work on me.
Well, because they're good.
They are good. Encanto is so good. I just watched it with
Encanto
my niece.
Encanto is really good.
I know. I watched it with my niece over the weekend. I'm like, this is so good.
That was Maite's theme for her fourth birthday. Yeah.
He just had a whole Encanto birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, over the weekend.
Who did you dress as?
No, I just bought a Don't Talk About Bruno shirt.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I liked it. We watched it twice. I mean, I wasn't as paying attention the second time, but I mostly just like play Disney musicals and songs for the baby all day long. Talk to myself.
I have a bunch of friends that have newborn babies, and they all do the same thing. Yeah. It's all Disney movies, Encanto, and they love this song, the Bruno song.
The Bruno song, and also babies the Family Madrigal. That's a good one, too.
That is a good one.
So babies react well to We Don't Talk About Bruno?
Yep.
He's like into it. He was like dancing yesterday. We were like watching this, and he was just sitting with there, and he's dancing. The kid is not even 3 months old, and he's already holding his head up.
Nice.
Wow.
I'm like,
wow.
I love when they hold their head up, because then, you know, before they hold their head up, it's like, dunk, and it falls down all the time. You're like, oh, man, are you all right?
It's frightening.
Because they're like proportionally way bigger than their bodies.
No, they're bobbleheads.
Yeah, they're bobbleheads.
The first time that...
I'm like, that's the scary part with the babies.
The first time that bobblehead falls, it's terrifying. Like, you really think that you have mangled and destroyed your child.
Yeah. Like, no, you didn't do it. Their head just fell and you didn't catch it.
But you should have prevented it. You should have been there to keep that from happening.
Yeah.
And it just shows you're not ready for this.
Yeah.
It's frightening.
And now I feel like I'm ready for this. He's holding his head up. Less than 3 months. But he's also trying to use his legs. And I'm like, ooh, slow down there. We're not ready for that. We are not ready for walking yet.
I remember my daughter was like 6 months old, five months old. And one day I just looked over at her and she was planking. She was on her stomach and she was just planking with like her head and her arms up and her legs up. And it was all in the stomach. I'm like, you go.
I know.
Look at
you. They're like jellyfish at this age, you know, or starfish. That's the starfish. Hey, we do the Seinfeld sounder. There we go. We actually have something resembling news. Something resembling news today.
Is it ever really?
It is. I think so.
Okay.
Because I do this. I'm in the like resembling news game too.
Most of the time, yes.
Yeah. When I'm not hosting radio. according to the Shams Charania at The Athletic, Kyrie Irving is committed to the 2022-23 season in Brooklyn. And sources with knowledge of the situation say he's been working out with teammates and holding constructive dialogue with the organization this offseason. So it was partially the tweets from Josiah. Josiah's Twitter is a really interesting place. Do you this on your Locked On Lakers podcast all the time?
You mean 5 days a week?
Decipher the Josiah Twitter.
You can find it anywhere you get podcasts, never behind a paywall.
Ding. Josiah is the owner of the Brooklyn Nets. He's also the founder of Alibaba, which is a really big company in China. That's like the China version of Amazon. It's really big. And he mostly tweets cryptic messages of support at Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And they're not cryptic, but they're worth deciphering. And about his son playing lacrosse. Do you ever follow that? He was like,
yeah, I'm looking at his timeline right now. There's a lot of
lacrosse. His son is Dash.
Big everywhere except for here.
Yeah, he was like at the World Championships in Ireland. And I think his son is really good because they were playing like in a real world championships of lacrosse something. His name is, that's a cool name, Dash, right?
One of my, my oldest nephew, Brian's oldest kid, his best friend is named Dash.
Dash, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I think that's like a word that works as a name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dash off.
Hey, aren't you the guy who does the Lakers dance party hoedown on your phone?
Now, that's the middle kid, though. That's the middle kid. The older one, though, is friends with Dash.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I just like the drop.
Dash has a brother.
It's a great. It's a great.
Dash has a brother named Arrow.
Come on, you're lying.
I'm just saying, Dash and Arrow.
Yeah.
Is there a hyphen in there too? Do they have a third kid?
Third kid is called Mark. Mark. Mark
is one of those things I should know if they have a third kid and I don't.
I have a college teammate. Her kids are Breck as a boy and Aspen is the girl.
Oh, so it's like
is
mountains.
Is Breck short for Breckenridge?
Maybe.
Breakfast.
They do live in Colorado.
Breck
they
is
like
short,
live in Colorado.
Breck is short for Breckenridge.
Yeah, Breckenridge.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's what they call it. Breck and Aspen.
Breck and Aspen. Oh, my
Aspen
God.
Aspen is the girl. Around, right? Yeah, I know. I was
dating an Aspen, that's for sure, though.
That is a minor form of called Child Protective Services.
Well, no, it's a little like you have to think about what the nickname is going to be. Like, what's the nickname for Aspen going to be?
No, don't
it
do
it. Pen.
Don't do it.
It ain't Pen.
You know, like, if you're going to give your kid like, a weird name, that's a snake. That's one of the most venomous snakes in the world.
Well, if you're lucky, it's Asp.
You can still work for a Disney show.
I mean, Penny would be all right for Aspen.
Yeah. Penny. Yeah. That works. Pen. I see what you did there. He's good. What do you think of this Kyrie thing? He's getting back together with him. Everyone making nice. Tweeting at each other. Working out together.
I've been trying to let our listeners know regularly. I don't think it's a given that A, Russell Westbrook is going to get traded at all. B, that if he's traded, it's going to be for Kyrie. A, because as long as Kevin Durant is on that team, as long as he's still in Brooklyn, they're not going to move Kyrie. I don't think that's going to happen. That's been all the signals they've been putting out there. People I've talked with, they're reiterating those signals.
And he got sources.
Do a little bit of sourcing around for this. But also, too, even if Durant does get traded, I don't think that automatically means Kyrie gets traded because depending on who you bring back for Kevin Durant, let's say, for example, Jaylen Brown, either Marcus Smart or, you know, Derek White, another role player, that's a really competitive team. You're not going to automatically move Kyrie, but if you do, it's not going to be for draft picks and a guy that you're buying out in Westbrook. So the more this has gone on, the more clear it's become. The Nets are not just going to cave to these demands because they're afraid of an awkward training camp or they're afraid of the season or whatever. These are big, monumental decisions, and they're not going to make them out of fear. And Durant doesn't really have leverage.
So I judge people on their actions, not their words, generally speaking, in this business. So the words are the Twitter, are the tweets and the what they say or what the sources say or yada, yada, yada. And I hear a lot of talk from Kevin Durant and you hear a lot of words, but I don't see a lot of action, which, you know, we will judge him based on whether he shows up. The only things I've seen from him are he's working out. He was working out with Jason Tatum. He was working out the other day. He's working out in L.A. I went to an open run the other day where he was supposed to be there. I was like, maybe trying to, you know, see him, but he wasn't there. But he's working out. He's like, he's getting ready to play. Like, there's no indication that he's thinking of sitting out the season. He even tweeted that he's not going to retire. He made clear of that. Kyrie, same thing. Actions are speaking louder than words, even though his words are like cryptic and weird. He's working out at pro-ams. Like, he's playing with, if he is working out with teammates and talking to the organization, he picked up his player option to return there. He didn't go and not pick up the player option and try to become a free agent this summer. I actually think he's going to have a really good year. This is a contract year for Kyrie Irving. He's lost a lot of money in terms of his shoe deals. Last year, he didn't get paid for half the season when he was sitting out. Like, this feels like he's doing the right things, and he's not creating any more waves within the organization. He's not doing what Kevin's doing, which is putting out this toxic stuff of like trying to get them to trade him. He's not trying to force his way out.
Neither one of these guys, I think, are in a position where they can afford to crap away the upcoming season for different reasons.
Yeah.
For Kyrie, it's given everything that's happened the last couple of years, he can't afford to have another repeat of seeming unreliable and a flake and often, to be honest, like he doesn't even want to play.
Mm-hmm.
He often seems like he's not interested in playing full-time basketball. But he clearly cares about the money, because if he didn't, he'd be a Laker right now and a mid-level exception.
Yeah.
He's, you know, Kyrie, to whatever degree you think he's flighty or eccentric or whatever, he's not crazy. You know, he does care about some of these conventional things. So he has to be on his best, most professional behavior. And I have no sourcing close to Kevin Durant at all, but just looking at his career and looking at what's left, you can't tell me that he's going to be willing to crap away his age 34 season.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I think when you judge him on his actions, he is trying to make things toxic. He is trying to pull a Jimmy Butler, if you will, right? Jimmy Butler in Minnesota, where he has this practice where he goes at everybody and he just makes it so that they can't keep him, right? They could, but it would just destroy the team. He seems like he's going down that path right now. Kyrie isn't. I think Kyrie's doing everything you would want Kyrie to do right now. He's not. He seems like he's trying to come back into the fold. He seems like he is playing the game the right way in terms of how you would be as a max player in this league. I think a lot of teams that nobody was really interested in him this summer based on his history, but I think teams will regret not trading for him.
Well, I would not want to commit to him full time.
No.
I mean, like a long-term contract. Like the idea of signing and trading with an extension for Kyrie, mm-hmm. wouldn't do that in a million years.
No.
On a one-year deal, this is the year to get Kyrie
deal. This is the moment where you have to ask yourself the questions. Do you trust Kyrie? Probably not. But do you trust Kyrie in a contract year to where you would give up a player of value? Because they don't just want picks. They want players of value for Kyrie. I think teams will regret not doing it.
But that's also where the Lakers are in trouble with this deal, because they don't have players of that type of significant value that they can trade for Kyrie. And that's why the longer this has gone on, it doesn't matter if LeBron wants Kyrie that badly, and it doesn't matter if the Lakers are willing to do this for LeBron. If the Nets aren't going to move him, they're not going to move him. Like what LeBron wants doesn't matter to the Nets. And I think that's really where we are right now.
Yeah, well, there's one piece of information that people always ignore when they talk about Kyrie and the Nets. I don't think the Nets want Westbrook. Like, yes, the salaries match, but that's a fundamental. If they don't want Westbrook, then what do you have in terms of a trade discussion? All right, that's Andy. I'm Mo. When we come back, there's a new documentary coming out that is going to be part of a great story, but the part we don't see might even be better. ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That was a short break. I'm still eating.
Eat on the air. Nobody cares.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Like nursing mom.
Channel your inner Michael Thompson.
I know. That's true.
Only pretzels.
It's funny because I just eat all day long. It's the greatest time to be an eater in your life when you're nursing. You're like, oh, I'm hungry again. Oh, I can do that?
Built-in excuse.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You are feeding for two.
I know.
Shout out, by the way, to Tech Holmes from the Real World
I know
Hawaii.
Tech. Yeah.
Listening to the show, apparently, because he agreed with Jorge that the best reality show to be on is The Real World.
That was a good one. Early Real World. I kind of dropped out after, I don't know, 8 or 9 seasons.
I used to love The Real World.
That was
so great.
So we have this is now the great era for sports documentaries and sports shows. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of into the scripted sports shows, personally, too, as you know.
Kind of a big deal.
Well, I haven't said that yet because I don't know if it's going to be good. I think it's going to be really good. But
it's going to be good.
It's going to be great.
Until I see it, I don't want to talk too much. I've had this whole thing with Sterling Affairs that I'm very excited about it, but I also until it actually really happens, I don't want to talk too much about it, right? Because it's like we don't talk about Bruno, right? We don't talk too much about the thing that the really cool thing that might happen. Because then what if it goes away?
Whoa. No, I mean, I can tell you right now, FX's track record.
Yeah, pretty good.
Is fantastic. I have a good friend who was a showrunner on an FX show. He loved working with them.
Yeah, they're really good. I really like all the people. Because everything I watch on FX is good. I just discovered The Americans. I'm so late to that show. But I've just been binge watching it. And I'm like, this is really good. This is on FX
is one of my absolute favorite
networks.
Yeah,
The Old Man is out now. That's good. Feud, those are good.
I haven't seen any of those.
Oh, yeah. They're all good. Just, you should go through and discover FX on Hulu. It's like a whole catalog of really good shows that you didn't know were there.
I'm rewatching Weeds right now. Did you ever watch the show Weeds
when
it was
on?
It is good. It holds up pretty well, actually.
Yeah,
that friend of mine, actually, who was the showrunner for, he was the showrunner for the show You're the Worst.
Okay.
But he wrote for Weeds for a while.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty funny.
He, shout out to Steve Falk. He loved working with FX.
Yeah. They make good TV.
They make great TV.
Yeah. Hey, the story of the 2008 U.S. Men's Olympic basketball team, the Redeem Team, it's going to be explored in a new documentary. The IOC and Netflix have collaborated on the program, which is set to be released globally in streaming this October. So it has interviews with Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Mike Krzyzewski. And Dwayne Wade and LeBron are executive producers of the documentary. I'm going to watch it. I'll watch it, right? I remember that. 2008, that was Beijing. That was when all those guys played on the team and they had to win after they didn't win before.
They had the game against Spain, which was incredible. That gold medal game. I remember watching it at like 3 a.m. local time. And when I first began watching it, I was like, look, I kind of have to do this because I cover the Lakers, but it's like, it's 2 or 3 a.m. I don't feel like doing this. Yeah. I was riveted up the entire, because it was a great game. And by that point, you wanted to see this group actually close the thing out. And it was Kobe playing against Powell. Like, it was genuinely exciting.
Okay. So a little this is some NBA lore. Dwayne and LeBron and Chris got to know each other during that Redeem Team, okay, that 2008 Olympics in Beijing. And that's where the discussions about playing together one day all started. Carmelo was on that team, too, but he had not set himself up to be a free agent at the same time. And at that time, all these guys were in the prime of their career. They're really building and growing. And what we've heard is that they started filming. So some of this footage is going to be in this documentary. It's being produced with the IOC and Netflix. So this is like sanctioned stuff, right? But I have heard that the story of LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade's free agency is like confessional style footage that has been recorded over a number of years that exists.
I think
that actually exists, but I don't think it could ever come out until they're all retired and done.
No, why?
It's too juicy.
Too juicy.
2010 when they decide to go.
I don't actually think
play it's, together.
Why is it too juicy now? I mean, by this point, we're talking more than a decade after the fact. Everybody, it's been so well reported that they. I don't want to say. Colluded makes it sound more sinister than it.
No, they
than
just
it really,
talked.
Right, but
you're allowed to talk.
Right, but this is where the germ of the idea for the Heatles began. It is so well known by now. It's not like you can retroactively punish any of these people involved that they didn't do anything wrong. The Heat didn't do anything illegal by CBA rules. I don't see why you can't do this now. Like, really, when you think about it, in terms of scandal. It was really the decision, and then like in Miami, the monster truck rally thing with the three of them on the stage and not five, not six, not seven.
No, I think the confessional stuff, the phone calls, the back and forth, the meetings they had for a couple of years, starting in 2008 when they are playing in the Olympics and leading all the way up to 2010 when they engineer how they're all going to play together. Right, all the meetings and the phone calls—they had all these three-way calls, and they were all talking together. Like, you're allowed to do that. None of this is illegal.
Right. I'm saying I think it would be interesting to see. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying like whatever. I think it would be fascinating to watch this thing grow. I'm just saying I don't think it's a scandal. I think if there's anything, think about what people still talk about most negatively.
Yeah.
It was the decision, and then that big pep rally afterwards where they're all on stage like WWE style and LeBron's making all those promises, that's what actually generated the negativity. I think unless you are upset at the idea of, I guess, broadly player empowerment and the idea of these guys taking more sort of agency over their careers, what they did during the Olympics in 2008, I think is actually pretty benign. It's interesting, but it's not scandal.
I mean, There will probably be some stuff in there that was maybe not all within the timing and framing of when you're supposed to talk to free agents, probably.
Okay.
Probably, I would
that
guess.
Never happens. What are you talking about?
So what you're saying is that there may be a little more fuzzy boundary crossing.
Yeah, sure. Like, I mean, look, I do this for a living of like, so you kind of know how the, you know, you talk about this in Congress, how the bills get passed.
Yeah.
Don't you want to know why Joe Manchin finally caved? What did Christensen, what did they really say to Christian cinema? Like, I'm sure there were some very interesting conversations and some very interesting deal making that happened, which is why we watch House of Cards, which is why we watch The West Wing. And it mostly is handled very well as a scripted series because you can do it under the guise of inspired by true events. Impeachment.
Right.
All of these scripted series of political dramas. I think the NBA and how things really get done in the NBA lends itself very well to scripted drama.
Oh, sure.
Unscripted drama where you actually have some of that footage. Like, to me, this is going to be 25 years from now, this is the Last Dance footage. This is like the Michael Jordan owned all the footage from his final year of the Last Dance. That was the deal he made. You remember that?
Yeah.
He made the deal with the NBA at the time. Okay, you can have all your cameras in here, but I own the footage. And he controlled it for 25 years. And finally, when he was old enough and enough time had passed, he said, okay, let's do it.
Well, I mean, are you waiting for, like, Pat Riley to no longer be an exec? Like,
yeah,
Dwayne
Wade is the owner of the Utah Jazz.
Like, are you trying to, like, get to a point where retroactively nobody could get punished?
Right. I don't think we'll ever get there because LeBron's probably going to be probably going to own the franchise in Vegas eventually.
Right. But if LeBron owns the Vegas NBA, whatever they're called, you can't punish the Vegas team for something LeBron did in 2008. Can't do that.
What are the statute of limitations on that? I don't know. I mean, does it keep him from becoming a team owner if some of that comes out?
Nothing will keep LeBron from being a team owner.
I think it depends on how bad it actually is.
I don't think it's bad because you don't have to show it.
If it's not bad, then it doesn't matter.
Like, that's the thing about in-house things. You control. You shot the footage, but you don't have to show it.
I'll tell you something right now. Unless what you're talking about that LeBron was involved in is like legitimately criminal, like, you know, like a RICO statute type thing, they're not keeping LeBron from owning a team.
Like, I feel like that's one of those locks. Like, the NBA would love to have LeBron.
Yes.
Like, they need more former players to own teams because that is how owners are going to understand, like, what players are going through. Like,
unless
that is
this
really
scandal,
important for the league.
Unless this scandal you're talking about. Like,
no,
not,
I don't think it'll be that scandalous.
Not where the, you know.
But it's just how things are done. Like, it's just what really happens behind the scenes in free agency.
I wish that the NBA went the... I know in some part they don't do this because they love the scandal and they love the gossip end of this and they figured out that it keeps year-round interest in the team. But like baseball, you are allowed to talk about the players that you're targeting. Yeah. Managers do it all the time. Ownership groups do it all the time. I would love for this stuff to be more out in the open. Like I've said, free agency, I wish those pitch meetings were televised. I would sit down and watch one of these teams pitch a LeBron, pitch a Kevin Durant. That would be awesome.
Well, that's why people used to love Hard Knocks, because you actually got to see somebody get cut from the team.
Yeah.
Like, you would see somebody get cut. You're like, whoa, that was real. And, like, you see how they took it, right? Like, some people, like, I always thought those were the most interesting reality moments of Hard Knocks, is, like, when somebody gets cut. And some of them are, like, super grateful, and some of them just get angry. Some of them get really quiet and just walk out.
Do they not show that anymore? I haven't watched Hard Knocks since,
yeah,
like,
I haven't
Dallas
really either. Yeah.
Years
I think
years
that's
ago.
Still the part of the show that doesn't feel manufactured by now. Because by now,
you can't.
There's a formula. Everybody knows what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But guys losing their job and their reaction to it, they're not faking that.
Yeah, they immediately call their agent. They try to get on some practice squad. Like, what are you going to do next? Like, that disappointment, that crushing moment. Like, there's really no faking that. That is, like, your hopes and dreams getting crushed right there. That's why we watch. That's terrible, right? But it's true.
You know what I would love to see? Because you mentioned the 2008 documentary.
Yeah.
I would love to see a documentary about the 2004 Olympic team. The one with young LeBron, young Wade.
The one that lost?
Young Mel. Yeah, that lost. Yeah. Those guys all didn't get along with Larry Brown, who wasn't playing.
Yeah.
Lamar Odom was on that team. Like, it was a really odd team. And, you know, they're thought of as such a failure.
Uh-huh.
They got the bronze, which I know you're supposed to win the gold. I get it. But
dude, they are a failure. You're the U.S. They're supposed to win.
All I'm saying is you would think that they didn't even qualify for the medal rounds the way that they're talking
about. Well, it's like that world championship team that got 10th.
Yeah.
Like, we don't talk about them.
I would love, though, to see a documentary like why Larry Brown decided I'm not going with young LeBron. I'm not going with young Dwayne Wade. Like, those guys were already really great players. Mm. I think that would be interesting to see.
Yeah. Like, it just depends on what they show you. Like, what is actually, like, if this is like a IOC and what's sanctioned and stuff. I mean, what was the guy who was the announcer who used to do all those? The games of the 25th Olympiad. That guy?
I'm not sure. I can look it up, though.
I don't know.
You know the voice I'm talking about, though, right? Who is that guy? Jorge knows that voice. Is this going to be like some official thing we're just putting on Netflix because it's big names? Maybe.
It might be. I mean,
but I want to see the beginnings of the Heatles in that. It happened in 2008.
The IOC should just show us whatever from this documentary, because how much worse can they look on a regular basis?
Yeah.
The IOC always is involved with something. It's a terrible look. Like, comparatively, there's nothing they could show from this period that would look worse than, like, some of the locations that they've chosen for the Olympics, and we all know the why behind it. This is tepid compared to that.
Yeah. I think it'll be good, though. I was actually in Beijing. That was one of my this is one of my very formative stories growing up of, like, in this profession where I was in that struggle phase of your career, super struggle phase, and I was about to almost leave the industry. And I get picked to cover the Olympics for the Daily News. Like, they were going to have a bureau. And I was like, it was like the greatest assignment ever. I was so excited. I actually turned down another job at KNBC to stay at the Daily News because I got picked to cover the Olympics. And then 6 weeks before, I get a call from the lady and she goes, oh, sorry, due to budget cuts, we're not going to have a bureau. And I was like, oh, that was soul crushing. But I still wanted to go because I had already had all these friends who were going. And it was the last time softball was in the Olympics. And so all the girls I played with were going to be there. So my friend and I just went as fans. And it was really fun. We just became like USA softball fans, and we went to a bunch of games. It was really hard to get tickets to anything in Beijing because they'd given away to all the local people in China. So I just went to like random events. I went to like canoe kayak. I got one time at the Bird's Nest. That was fun. So I didn't see any of the like behind the scenes as a reporter there, but it was much more fun to go as a fan. All right, when we come back, I don't need any excuses to talk about the Raiders every single day. But we actually have one now. Momo, Andy, Greg, ESPN LA.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, I love this song. This is one of my writing songs.
Who is this?
Oh, what is it now? Tell me what it is.
The Cold War Kids.
First. It's literally called First.
It's the Cold War Kids.
Yeah, Cold War Kids, First. I used to have mixes that I would write to, and usually it would be like 5 or 10 songs, and I would just like play them on repeat while I was on deadline. You probably have that.
No,
it's crowded
absolutely.
Press room. It's loud. You just got to put your earphones on and rock out. And this one was like definitely on heavy rotation.
Yeah, my go-to writing is typically either Radiohead, David Bowie, or jazz.
Mm-hmm.
But I want mood. Or the soundtrack to Rumblefish, that's the other one. There's four.
I don't know what you're talking about. What is Rumblefish?
Rumblefish was a movie Francis Ford Coppola directed it. It was in the early 80s. Matt Dillon, Mickey Rourke, Diane Lane, Dennis Hopper. It's an Essie Hinton. Remember Essie Hinton? She wrote The Outsiders?
Okay.
It's another one of her books that was an adaptation around that time when all of her books were getting made.
You've been on the show with me long enough to know that anytime there's a Raider topic, I'm kind of in.
Oh, I knew you'd be in.
Right? Are you in, Greg, every time there's a Raider topic? And every once in a while, they come from very unexpected places. So we'd heard all about what John Gruden wanted when he took over a couple years ago, and then that ended pretty badly. But here we go. No, I don't know if I can play this when I think about what might have been. I don't know. What do you think?
It I think actually, anytime we talk about the Raiders, it should just be played.
You should just play it, yeah. This is actually also being a Raider fan is hearing stories like this and knowing that we self-sabotaged. It's like, you know, I feel like the Raiders are like one big Alanis Morissette song. It's like, isn't it ironic, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have this big play and you already scored and then the ref throws the flag. It's a holding call again. I mean, that's like the Raiders, okay? The Raiders, according to Dana White of all people, who's big in Vegas, had a deal for Tom Brady when he was leaving the Patriots before he went to Tampa Bay. Dana White was apparently the deal maker here. I don't know why they needed Dana White to get involved.
That was one of the questions I thought you'd be able to answer. Like, is it because he's so big in Vegas? Like, he's essentially the equivalent of a politician or an emissary?
This
like,
is
what
just
do they
me
need
reading
for?
Tea leaves, okay? But this came out because Gronk did an interview. Rob Gronkowski did an interview with Dana White over the weekend as part of the UFC match. Big upset in the UFC, by the way. Usman lost. So Dana White goes in and starts talking about this, and we're like, wait, this is real. Like, Gronk was like, I was wondering if you're going to tell this story. And I was like, this is a really big story for Raider fans that has never, I've never heard this ever. Have you ever heard any of that? I thought he was going to go to the Saints.
Yeah, I thought he was going to go there, or he's going to go to the Dolphins. There was a possibility
the Dolphins,
there.
There was the meeting on the yacht.
But what it could have been, it would have been Gronk and Brady coming to the Raiders. But then they remember on the shop a couple of years ago, there was this whole thing where Brady was on the shop and he said, like, oh, I was going to go to this one team, but they decided to stick with this MF-er at quarterback instead. Yeah. That MF-er
and he wouldn't name the team?
Is Derek Carr.
It's like alternate. Which is crazy. Okay, so this is just me being a journalist thinking, like, why would Dana White have to be involved? Usually when you have cases where the teams don't talk directly to each other, you have some emissary who is the note passer, is the, like, I talk to somebody and we won't get fined for tampering. Like, you don't have to request permission for a trade. Because Brady actually had to do a trade there, I think, right? Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's usually somebody behind the scenes who can be the note passer that they don't get in trouble for tampering or have to ask permission.
So this is something like where even Don Yee,
right,
his
agent
they couldn't go directly
it.
To him.
Correct. Okay. So, and there's a lot of things that get done like this in the NBA or in the NFL. Any big deal like that, there's usually like three or four people behind the scenes who are making that deal happen. That's actually, as a reporter, when I figured out who some of those people were, it really kind of opened things up, right? You're like, oh, you're not official for anybody, but you know things because people talk to you because you won't get them in trouble. Got it. That's a source game thing.
Could you imagine what that team would have been like?
So this is the
year. They won a championship right after.
And Gronk was like, yeah, it worked out. You know, we ended up winning a title in Tampa Bay. It was great.
Okay.
But what? Well, and Gruden nixed it?
Okay.
There's no explanation from Gruden of why he nixed it.
That's my next question.
Well, he kind of got taken out a little bit.
To quote Brian Windhorst, now, why would that happen? My immediate thought with Gruden nixing this is John Gruden did not want anybody there that's a bigger star than him.
Wow. I see that.
That's my immediate thought. Because remember, when John Gruden got hired by the Raiders, that was a win the press conference hiring. Because I know a lot of people, myself included, were very skeptical with the idea of, like, why are you going so hard after a guy that hasn't coached in, like, a decade? The reaction among players, as far as him as a coach, very mixed. You know, talk to Keyshawn. He'll go on for a couple hours about the reasons he doesn't think Gruden's a good coach at all. And
oh, here it goes. We come with the second part of the song.
Sorry, Andy.
But he was the biggest star there. And there was no player on that. Remember, he got rid of Khalil Mack really quickly.
Like, Gruden embodies this voice. Like, this is kind of like the games of the 25th Olympiad voice. Like, you have to have that voice, right?
You do. Right? It's like the NFL film.
Did we figure out who that guy is?
No, I tried looking it up. I didn't know what to look up. So
the Olympiad voice guy.
Yeah, didn't work. My Googling skills didn't go very well here.
Come on, producer Greg.
We came across Robert Costas.
Yeah, Robert Costas. Or Bob, as it's referred to.
Pretty good.
What's his career been
Brady's
like?
Finally back in camp.
Yeah.
He just, like, took off for a little while. He's back with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, the rumor mill was out of control.
Is he really the Masked Singer? Does anybody watch that show?
If he is actually on The Masked Singer and that's the reason that he wasn't in Bucks Camps for personal reasons.
I don't think so. I don't even want to joke about it because it probably is something like bad. With, you know, it's
well, no, I'm not
bad.
Trying to. That's what I'm asking. Like, if it, yeah. if it is this, if personal reasons, you have your own personal reasons. But if it is because he's on The Masked Singer.
It's a bad use of personal reasons.
Yeah, thanks for. I always like a good Raiders song. However, this was not a good Raiders story. This is like the this is the yin yang of being a Raider fan.
Well, there's always the yang with the Raiders. As much as I love them,
pretty much all yang.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of yin in there.
No, we have a lot of. Oh, look, there it is. There's some Raiders there.
No, this is a terrible thing. You're watching a Raider
I'm
game.
Watching the Tuck Rule game.
Yeah, the Tuck Rule. That's not a good thing. That's the yang.
Yeah.
This isn't the yin.
Oh, NFL Live's talking about this story right now. Oh.
It was absolutely a fumble, by the way.
It absolutely was. Well, here's what Tom said about this idea of him being on the Raiders back when he was on the shop. He said, there was a story in free agency, one of the teams, they were interested, and all of a sudden, they weren't interested at the very end. I was sitting there thinking, you're sticking with that guy? That MF guy, okay? Are you serious? When you're looking back, there's no bleeping way I would have went to that team. But they said they didn't want me, and I know what that means. I know what that feels like, and I'm going to blank you up because of that. Thanks.
So, well,
thanks,
at least
Chucky.
Well, he's saying I wouldn't go anyway. There was no way that he was going to go to that team anyway.
He says that now.
Yeah.
Gronk said Gronk and Dana White seemed to think that was really happening.
But don't you agree,
I
though?
Loved it.
That has to be the reason that Gruden would nix it, because there is no rationale for I believe in Derek Carr more than I believe in Tom Brady. Like, you can't make that argument.
Well, there was a moment when people wondered whether his body would hold up.
Right, but people have been wondering about Derek Carr as a quarterback, period.
Ugh.
So I think that's what it is. He did not want somebody in that locker room bigger than him.
Yeah, and there's also a sense of you want to mold your own guy. Like, at that moment, Chucky had just been taking over as the head coach. Derek Carr was his guy. He had to embrace him. And maybe he knew they weren't going to get him. Maybe he knew Brady didn't want to go there anyway. But this idea that it got at the very last minute, that it got down to the last minute, and somehow Dana White is involved in all of this.
Well, I would think if it gets down to the last minute, Brady couldn't be that unhappy about going.
Right.
There is no last. Right. There is no last minute if he really doesn't want to go.
Yeah. I mean, the way this usually works is there's the intermediary person who's talking to everyone. So it doesn't, like, I'm sure Dana White was probably talking to Don Yee or maybe to Gronk directly or maybe to Brady directly. And then there's the, we weren't talking. But the intermediary guy knows he wouldn't have gone that far if Brady wasn't open to that idea. Now, I had always heard he was going to go to New Orleans if Drew Brees went to Monday Night Football.
Right.
That seemed like a real story, too.
Right, and he was going to be coached by Sean Payton.
Right, which is why that whole thing with the Dolphins, trying to get Sean Payton and Brady and meeting on the yacht, which is what their owner is now suspended for or fined for.
Yeah, fine, but should be suspended.
Something like that.
And now the Raiders don't even have.
See,
Gruden
this is
anyway.
A what if I told you. This is like if I was an NFL reporter, this is you'd be doing the what if I told you.
What if I told you?
I mean, look at all the places Tom Brady might have gone.
He could have gone everywhere. I mean, is there really that many teams in the league that wouldn't have taken Brady at that point in 2020?
I think there was. I think there was a lot of questions about whether or not his body would hold. He was really old.
He had been coming off a relatively down season, but I think a team like the Raiders. That A, did not have a quarterback that I think their coach truly believed in anyway, but
he did believe him. Absolutely. John Gruden loved Derek Carr.
It took a minute before it seemed like he loved Derek Carr. But also, too, you're trying to make a splash in Vegas. You're going to take Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You're going to have Tom Brady if you're trying to introduce
yourself.
There's
also something a little bit odd about getting the guy who was on the other side of the Tuck Rule. Like, there's something karmically odd. Like, when I think Raiders, I do not think Tom Brady. Like, choir boy. I mean, like, and so is Derek Carr, by the way. It's not exactly like who you picture as the Raiders quarterback.
Like, Derek Carr makes Tom Brady look like a wild
man. Yeah, that's the off the field stuff. Like on the field, he's definitely a Raider.
Sure.
Like, big arm, makes a lot of mistakes, feast for famine.
Not many mistakes. I'll defend Carr a little
big
bit.
Big arm makes a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. That's kind of Derek Carr, right?
Yes. I just love that's the scouting report for a prototype Raiders quarterback.
Yeah.
Big arm makes a lot of mistakes.
Well, what's the scouting report for a prototypical Raiders receiver?
Really fast. Can't catch anything.
Yeah. Catches it just enough to tantalize you to think you should catch it all the time, but then doesn't.
Right. Hey, do you know the name John Facenda or Fakenda? Or
yeah, sounds right.
Yeah.
Facenda.
Facenda, yeah.
That's the voice?
That's the voice, yeah.
Ah.
Thanks to somebody else, the...
like mine.
To that guy.
I thought that
According
was pretty good.
According to, I don't know who this is from. Yeah. Oh, Mike Arias sent it to me.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I think that guy has it. That's what he did. That's his whole life. And we don't even know his name. That's too bad.
You know what, though? To me, that's perfect. He had that career, and nobody knows who he is. Like, unless you end up in a conversation with him, that guy can just go about his probably very well-compensated life without anybody bothering him. That's perfect. It's a great life.
Yeah. Hey, when we come back, it's Corporate Greg's time to shine. Bobcat. Ready?
Bobcat.
You got good ones? You got really good ones?
I got some great ones.
Oh,
you're going to love
you've been
them.
Saving up all weekend.
Yep, I'll save them just for you.
That's Andy Kamenetsky. I'm Momo, in for Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. All right, so you're watching Hard Knocks, I'm assuming, right? I'm not, but maybe you guys
no,
are.
Not really.
No, not really.
I didn't
really
watch it either this year.
No, not really.
Yeah, well, good. Neither.
I know.
But no, I don't think anybody
no one
else is either.
The Lions.
Exactly, it's the Lions. So, speaking of that, Dan Campbell has decided to let Lions players run today's practice by themselves. Mm. Coaches did not participate in the practice session at all. So, do you think that Dan Campbell is doing this just for the cameras for Hard Knocks, or he actually believes in what he's doing?
No, I think he really believes in that. That's kind of how he is. He's like a player's coach. He's like Mr. Passionate, and he's so I do everything for you guys, and I mean everything. You mean everything to me, and it's almost like too much. And so I think like the whole let the players run the practice. I mean, I don't know. I'm getting jaded in my old age. I'm getting a little jaded. So,
it's
like,
okay.
Steve Kerr does this sometimes with the Warriors. He lets them run, or they pick the music, or they get to run a drill. Sometimes they'll play
I feel like basketball is different than football, though.
Yeah, sometimes they'll play football in the middle of practice, in the middle of basketball practice. And I wrote so many, like, happy Warriors stories the first part of their dynasty. Oh, the Warriors, they have fun. They run on joy, not grievance. They don't have a chip on their shoulder. They
That's
have love
line.
In their hearts. I mean, I feel like I've written so many of those stories.
What
wow.
was the say the grievance line again? That was really good.
Oh, what did I say?
They live on joy, not grievance.
Oh, they don't have a chip on their shoulder. They have love in your hearts. They live on joy, not grievance.
I like joy, not grievance.
Yeah, I don't know. I just make this stuff up sometimes.
Ding.
But I wrote so many of those stories on their way up because they are a good, happy, shiny, happy people story. Okay, and that's kind of what I think a lot of like Dan Campbell probably read those stories, right? Like everything feels derivative when you get to that stage. You're just like the Lions. Like you're not that unique. Like people have done that before to have their players run the practice. I get why you're doing it. Sounds cool. I'm still not watching the show yet. Show me some games.
I suppose if you're looking for a either non-derivative or non-look at me explanation, maybe he feels like they're at a place where they're supposed to be taking those next steps, but he wants them to discover those steps themselves. Like one of those steps is accountability. Another one is responsibility. Another one is, you know, being able to talk to each other honestly. That's that sort of thing. And that can't happen if we're the ones telling you to do everything.
Right.
That would be the, I guess, rational
explanation. Yeah,
Kingsbury
did that with Kyler Murray a little while ago. And it was like, okay, Kyler was out. He had COVID and he was out. And he'd always kind of complained about how Cliff ran the practices and how long it took him to get the plays in. So Cliff, while Kyler was out, said, okay, you call the plays in.
He's been doing that in the preseason.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray's been calling plays.
Yeah, so he's like making him do it. And then Cliff gave Cliff Kingsbury gave a quote about it saying like, oh man, if I was a quarterback, I wouldn't want to play for Kyler Murray because he thinks it's hard for me to do it. Like, he's terrible at it, right? I mean, I get why you're doing that, but that at least felt organic. That felt like, okay, this is a very specific problem that your quarterback is complained about, so you're going to show him.
Yeah, I just think like this is all. Well, you talked about the Warriors. That was the beginning of a dynasty. They were really, really
That's
good.
That's right.
And then you're talking about Kyler Murray. That's a one specific player on a team.
He's really good. Won a Heisman Trophy.
Was really good. Yeah. Now you have an entire team, entire Lions team that doesn't win games practicing by themselves.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? Jared Goff is your quarterback.
Right.
Like this was all done
really
for the cameras
for,
in my
for
mind.
Things like that.
You're not actually trying to get
anything. Think about the
here.
Flip side of this. This is how bad they've been, and Dan Campbell's been running those practices. Maybe the solution is Dan Campbell and the coaching staff staying out of those practices. How much worse could they be?
You want to find out? They've gone 0 for before.
I mean, like, really, what are you clinging to with Dan Campbell's methods? They're not winning anything.
Well, then if that's the case, then they don't need him as a head coach,
somewhere.
And then it's a different thing.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere. So if they end up being not terrible, maybe this will be written about in the Detroit Free Press.
Maybe.
Bobcat.
All right, so I was asking Ramona whether she wanted to lead or be the two over the weekend.
Yeah.
And so she said, I want to lead. But she spelled lead L-E-D-E.
Yeah. Oh, writerly.
Which was very much a writer thing because mm-hmm. the lead is the L-E-D-E is like the...
It's
a very writer thing.
It is a writer thing. I didn't used to do that either.
Did you do it on purpose, first off, before I get to the question?
I did do it on purpose. You did? It was not an autocorrect. I also felt like I'm in a stage where I've been trying to challenge myself. I've been trying... Like, it's much easier for me to sit back and be the two and let Andy do all the work.
Right.
So I'm like, no, I should step up. Yeah. I should step up and lead. I should do that.
All right. So do you guys do anything else that's weird like this? Not weird, but, you know.
Yeah.
Like change things around.
Like stupid jargony things.
Right.
Jargony. You go first, Andy. Go ahead.
These aren't intentional as much as just quirks that I've discovered with myself. First of all, when I was in college, a professor of mine thought that I might have a minor form of dyslexia, which is where when I handwrite, I tend to leave out vowels. Like, it'll just be like a string of consonants, and then I'll catch myself and realize that I needed to insert a bunch of vowels and not in there. And I would occasionally reverse a couple letters. I read them exactly as they are.
Huh.
But she told me that leaving out vowels is a very minor, you know, ultimately not that big of a deal form of dyslexia. I have found, though, now, whenever I write the word one, O-N-E, I start to spell it out W-O-N-E. Or W-O-N. Like, I'm mixing up these sound-alike words. And it becomes really frustrating. It also feels like a reminder of getting old.
Hmm.
Like, maybe I'm just not as sharp as I used to be.
I struggled with that in my ESL classes.
I feel better now. I feel a lot better. Jorge's a much younger man.
I don't think we're supposed to laugh. No, he was telling us a really
honest thing. I said it. It's cool. You guys can laugh with me.
I mean, I think Jorge knows I'm going to laugh either way.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable laugh.
What other things? I don't
Did I seem uncomfortable?
I think lead might be the thing I do.
So you do that normally, though. Like, that's like if you say lead to anybody, you're typing it in as L-E-D-E.
Well, when we talk about, but it actually is incorrect. I actually should have said L-E-A-D.
Right. Well, that's
leading,
what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're lead. Like,
yeah,
you said,
I did it. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right. It's wrong. So tomorrow, I can't say what I'm doing officially tomorrow. But there's another thing I'm doing tomorrow.
Right.
Okay.
Where you'll have to someone write a lead for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it's a jargony thing. In what we're referring to is the beginning part of a story. We call it the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I have a lot of jargony terms that I use that people in the industry know, but people in the not in the industry. So a lot of times I'll talk about the through line or the log line. What's your log line? And they're like, what's a log line?
Yeah, I'm like, what is a log line?
Okay, so in Hollywood, a log line is like, it's like the Honeymooners meets whatever, another show, okay?
Okay, gotcha.
So it's the dating
the
game.
The quick pitch, the elevator pitch.
The elevator pitch, okay? So that's your log line. When you're writing, you have what's called the through line, and that's the theme of your story. It's a through line that goes all the way through your story.
Got it.
Okay? So I use these things like people just know what I'm talking about, and except for they don't. I mean, that's not something that normal people who are not in the industry know. So lead is definitely in the incorrect spelling of lead is definitely a.
Well, that's where the expression "don't bury the lead" comes from.
Right.
When you're telling a story and you go very, very long before you get to, I guess, the point of it. People are like, well, don't bury the lead.
Right.
Like, that's.
You know, another one people do, but I don't do it because I think it sounds very self-important. When you get to the end of a story, old newspaper people used to do 30, and I don't even really know what that stands for. It's like dash 30 dash, and that means the story's over. That means it's done. Like, that's the end of the story. I don't even know where that comes from. But, like, if you see somebody do that when they're – you see it, you'll see, like, friends who are in the industry who are, like, editors or writers on Facebook. They'll do that. Okay, I'm out. Like, I'm out. It's kind of like Mamba out.
Dash 30
like,
dash.
It's kind of like the
the lamest
somebody
form
that
of
up.
Mamba out ever.
Yeah, super lame. But Bob like if Cat. You do that, it's a little inside baseball. Yeah.
All right, Jorge, what you got?
All right, our good friends at McDonald's are testing a chicken Big Mac after they sold out in the UK. So they're testing this in Miami only or Florida only. Do you guys think it'll catch on? Swapping the beef for the chicken on a Big Mac, or they should leave it alone? What do you guys think?
I'm not into that. No, that's like the wrong taste. Like, I'm definitely a big connoisseur of chicken sandwiches,
uh-huh.
and I don't think the Thousand Island sauce works on a chicken sandwich. I think you got to do mayonnaise and mustard on a chicken sandwich, but not mayonnaise and ketchup together with pickle relish. That's just that's like really the wrong taste.
I have never heard. I don't love Thousand anyway, but I've never heard of Thousand on a chicken sandwich. Like, that's pretty out there for a pairing.
Yeah.
Particularly for something like a Big Mac that's a really well-known taste. I mean, you want to
People do smush those together. You do buy Big Macs and McChickens and then put the chicken patty in there.
But you've still got the beef, though.
I don't like the smushed things together either.
See, I go to McDonald's a decent amount, and I'm always looking for chicken. I always want chicken things, and I don't really want the crispy chicken that they always have, or the McChicken, which is decent. But I would eat this. That's more chicken for me. I would eat that, absolutely.
If you want to go chicken with McDonald's, just go McNuggets. Oh, McNuggets are so great. I've been
big on the McNuggets recently. They're so good.
I agree with that.
They're awesome.
Like, so we took my oldest son to the beach the other day, and we haven't been going out places because he's like a, you know, COVID kid. We were home for like a year and a half, right? And so he's not an experienced beach goer. He's a little afraid of the waves. He's like, oh, it's going to suck me out there. And then he's like, Mommy, can we swim to that boat? I'm like, that's a little far. Like, I mean, it was just a little like he's got to get the beach routine down. So we said, if you're really good, we can stop at McDonald's on the way home. And so we stopped at McDonald's on the way home. And I don't get it very often. And I still like a good Big Mac. I still like that. But I was so hungry, and I was so interested in really looking forward to this. And then I ate it, and I was like, this is, I think it's not as good as I remember. The fries are still really good. The nuggets, they like burned them. It was overcooked, and they didn't put the sweet and sour sauce in there.
You need the sweet and sour sauce.
And then the McChicken was kind of overcooked, too. Like, probably this place has had, like, some food poisoning issues of undercooked, and then maybe the managers make him overcook it. I don't know. All the chicken was overcooked.
Well, the chicken in particular, you're going to be careful.
Yeah.
They're probably paranoid.
It just wasn't that good. So I feel like if I'm going to have McDonald's, it needs to be like a really particularly good. Like, I'm going to go double cheeseburger. I'm going to go McDonald's. I'm going to go Big Mac. I don't need to mess with it.
Bobcat.
And you better do it right. Don't mess it up.
All right. That'll do it.
That's it?
That's it. We're out of time.
All right. When we come back, we've taken entirely too long to talk about the very tall redhead who just was on fire for the Dodgers this weekend. Momo, Andy, in for Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.